What you see on the overhead is the work of a Korean artist. 6 feet tall, 4 feet wide. It took him 2 years to finish this. Basically, it's the New Testament. He used a fine-tipped pen and used light and dark shades. 180,000 words. About 1,000 words in each line, comprising the entire New Testament. When he was finished, it gave a portrait of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, there are 27 angels depicted around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those 27 angels represent the 27 books of the New Testament. Quite an ingenious work. I do believe that he had in mind the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today. As you look at that, basically what happens is Christ becomes a reality as he so meticulously copied the entire New Testament by hand. I believe that he had in mind exactly what John 1, verses 1 through 5 has to say. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's another translation that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was face to face with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines through the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's certainly an understatement. The word "word" in this passage of Scripture comes from the Greek word logos, and it has two meanings. Logos does mean word, but it also means reason. So the basic idea is that Jesus Christ is not only the Word of God, the spoken message of God, Jesus Christ is also the wisdom of God. This word is very interesting as you study it in this passage of Scripture. Let's think about what a word really is. A word is a manifestation. Jesus Christ was the manifestation of God, the invisible God. So this word made visible all the attributes of God. A word is a means of communication. Some of you communicate with words. Most of us do. We also communicate with our body language. And you can tell whether a person is uptight or whether they're happy or whether they are an emotional wreck by observing their body. So, a word is a means of communication. And Christ communicated to us the life and the love of his Father. A word is also a method of revelation. We didn't know a lot about God until the coming of Jesus Christ. But in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word and the wisdom of God He established for us the power of God, the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the heart of God, all those things that we didn't know until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, four things that we want to look at very quickly. Number one, Jesus is eternal. He's been around a long, long time. I like the way Scripture talks about who He is. And it's interesting that in John, the first chapter here, it goes right back to the Genesis record. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Or in a beginning, literally. And now it says, in the beginning was the Word. This means it came into existence, and this is what brought us the concept of time. All of this took place outside of time, but in this beginning, time began. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we became conscious of a 24-hour day. In the beginning was the Word. Beginning is used in the sense of time. And thank God for that time when Jesus Christ was able to make the greatest impact upon the world. Couldn't have come before, couldn't have come after, but when everything was prepared for the impact of Jesus Christ, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. The Scripture says that there was never a time when Jesus was not. Jesus did not have His start in Mary's womb. Jesus has always been around. And you can't find any better description of who Jesus Christ is as we celebrate Christmas than those three verses in the Hebrew letter. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. We'll come back to that. And He is, this is what I really like. When you think about the Son of God, when you think about Jesus Christ, this is what the Hebrew letter says. He is the radiance of His glory. The radiance of His glory. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ walked around with a holy glow. But it means by the way He lived and the words that He spoke, He was the holy glow of God. The radiance of God. The perfection of God. Everything that God is was manifested in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does the Scripture say, and He is the radiance of His glory, it says He is the exact representation of His nature and upholds all things by the word of His power. He's the exact image. If you took a stamp and stamped it, it would be Jesus Christ is the exact image of God the Father. That's one of the reasons He came. He came primarily to make propitiation for our sins, but He also came to let us know what kind of a Father we have. What a marvelous thing to know that He loves us. Now, keep in mind, we celebrate the coming of this little babe in a manger, but there was never a time when Jesus was not. And so coming in the form of a babe in a manger is simply God's way of getting to know you and getting to know me. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that God is today has been manifested to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that Jesus Christ was not some kind of a prophet. He was a prophet, but He was much more than a prophet. It doesn't mean that He was just a good teacher. He was a good teacher, but we can't leave him in that position. He's much more than a good teacher. He's the exact representation of God. And without the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would know very little about God except that he's powerful and he can create. Well, actually, he didn't create. He gave that over to his son, Jesus Christ, as we'll learn in just a manner. Yes, he was a wonderful teacher, but he was certainly more than a wonderful teacher. He was the very, very exact representation of God. The glory and the glow of God was in him. And he let us, we were able to see that through his coming. No other religion or religious leader on the face of the earth ever even came close to manifesting the exact nature of God. When we sing about the little baby on Christmas Day, we're singing about the Son of God. Yes, a little baby, but we're singing about the Son of God. So, number one, Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the exact representation of God. And one thing that we seem to forget is that Jesus is actually the Creator. Listen to what Colossians, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17 has to say. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything else began, and he holds all creation together. Remember, a few weeks we looked at a part of this passage of Scripture, and it says that everything is held together. Remember that laminin, the molecule that holds us together in the shape of a cross? If that were to be destroyed, everything would fall apart. Interestingly enough, there's a lady who has a laminin ministry. And what she does is she sells a piece of jewelry with the laminin or the shape of the cross, and with it she supports unborn children. So it's vitally important for us to understand that Jesus is eternal. He's the manifestation perfectly of God. He is the Creator. Without him, nothing has come into existence. And he is the one who holds everything together. So we're not just celebrating a cute little baby. We have no idea whether he was cute or whether he was ugly. But he was the Son of God, however he looked. And he was just like any other baby. His diapers had to be changed. And he had to be taken care of and fed, as all babies are. But not only that, he was life and light. If you can imagine in your mind, just for a moment, close your eyes, and see nothing but darkness, absolute darkness. And in that darkness, you see a few little twinkling lights. It's kind of like looking up in the heavens on a dark night, and you're not in a place where there are a lot of lights, and you can look up into the heavens and you can see all those twinkling little stars. That's kind of what John is getting at here. That there are little lights sprinkled in the pervading darkness. And that light is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scripture says that everyone has the possibility of knowing the light, but primarily men have rejected the light. But the light that people receive from the Lord Jesus Christ cannot and never will be extinguished. There's lots of effort to extinguish the light, but I promise you that nobody can do that. Here and there, a light might be extinguished, but in the end, the light will always be there. Jesus will always be the life, and he will always be the light. The scripture says the light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. All the efforts that are made to distinguish the light utterly will fail. And let me tell you, if you look at the world in which we live, there are plenty of efforts to destroy the light, but it's futile. They will not destroy the light which the Lord Jesus Christ has brought. Jesus became human, or as the scripture says, flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of condemnation and wrath. Huh? What? Wow, I'm glad you got. How many of you got grace and truth? Huh? Glad you did. Because if he came with condemnation and wrath, we'd be sunk. So he came full, not half full, not three-fourths full, not nine-tenths full, but full and overflowing of grace and truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And in this day and age, it's a little difficult for people to find the truth because they're looking in all the wrong places. So Jesus became human or became flesh and made his home among us. Thank God for that. That's what Christmas is all about. Whether we're celebrating on the exact day or not, doesn't make any difference. The point is, God is with us. Soren Kierkegaard was a rather famous Danish theologian. Some would call him famous, some would call him not so famous. He tells a story of a prince. According to Soren Kierkegaard, this is something that actually happened in his lifetime. Of a prince who was running an errand for his father in one of the local villages. And you have to remember, in the time of Soren Kierkegaard, there was the aristocrats and everybody else was a peasant. The aristocrats ruled. The peasants were obedient or not. As the prince passed through this particularly poor village, he saw a beautiful young peasant girl, and good grief, he fell in love with her. He wanted her in the very worst way. She captured his heart. So he often went to this poverty-stricken village just to see her, but he would never talk to her or anything like that. He really wanted to get acquainted with her, but he didn't know how to develop a relationship with her. He had the power as an aristocrat to order her to marry him. But then he wanted someone who would actually love him for who he was. So he decided that wasn't too good. So he thought, well, maybe I could just put on all my royal robes and all my medals. I've got lots of them. And I'll just walk up to her and I'll impress her with who I am and ask her to marry me. But he said, I don't know whether she would marry me because she really cared for me or simply because she was impressed with who I was and the lifestyle that she would live if she became my wife. So he puzzled and puzzled and puzzled over the whole situation. And he finally came to this conclusion. He took off all of his royal robes and dressed like a peasant, moved into the village, ate the same kind of rough food that they ate, spoke the language that they spoke, worked as they worked, simply became a part of the village, living in poverty. Over time, he eventually became acquainted with this girl he so loved, and she became acquainted with him, and eventually they were married. Now, folks, that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. He could have forced us. He could have said, you're going to worship me whether you like it or not. He had the power to do that. Or he could have impressed us with his heavenly garments. We have really no idea what he left, but it had to be a whole lot better than what he came to. He could have impressed us with his holiness, and the scripture says millions and millions of angels worshiping him and singing praises to him. He could have done something like that. But that's not what he did. He didn't try to overwhelm us. He didn't try to impress us with his godhood. He became one of us. He put on your shoes. And walked in the same shoes that we walk in today. He understood persecution. He understood poverty. The scripture says the foxes have holes or a place to lay their head. But not the Son of God. He didn't know from night to night where he would sleep. Poverty. He understood that. He had a treasurer who kept a few pennies for them, who in the end, we don't know how much he pilfered, but sold out for 30 pieces of silver. In Jesus coming to earth on that first Christmas day, he was coming to show us the nature of God. And he exemplified that by his own life. On March the 5th in Salt Lake City, the year was 1994, a deputy sheriff by the name of Lloyd Prescott was teaching a class of police officers in the library. He stepped out into the hallway. He was dressed in civilian clothes, and there was a gunman herding 18 people into a room. The sheriff stepped into the line as one of the people captured by this gunman, and the gunman took him into a room and closed the door and said, "Here's what's going to happen. If Salt Lake City does not give me what I want, here's the order of execution." And he went on to explain who would be the first one murdered, shot, and on until he got what he wanted. It was at that time that the police officer identified himself as a police officer, and a gunfight ensued. And the sheriff killed the gunman. That's what Jesus Christ did. He fell in line, came to this earth, because we were also held hostage by our sin. We were held hostage by the adversary. And Jesus Christ said, we'll go to war. And so Jesus Christ took our place at the cross. He defeated the gunman. The gunman doesn't have much time, and so he's like a bull in a china closet, doing everything he can to disrupt or to turn out the lights of glory and to extinguish the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's never going to be successful. Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth to be in a place of sin. He never knew sin before. But he got in line and defended us against the adversary. Jesus came. We choose. He was in the world and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, still doesn't. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Think of that. I'm going home for Christmas. Going to meet with my family. I knock on the door. They come to the door. They look at me and they say, who are you? We don't want anything to do with you. Why have you come here? Leave. That's what happened to Jesus Christ. He came into his own, who had the Old Testament scripture, hundreds of prophecies explaining his coming. But when he got there, don't want anything to do with you. We'd rather live in our sin. We'd rather be legalistic. We'd rather pay attention to our own little selves rather than to you. That's what happens. It's a sad thing today. The vast majority of people have rejected Jesus Christ. They look in all the wrong places. I just read a funny article this week. People saying, here's how we're going to have peace and prosperity on the planet Earth. We're going to all become vegetarians. No more steak, guys. No more roast. No more hot dogs. No more anything. Because according to this group, it's eating meat that makes you a warrior. So if you stop eating meat, all of a sudden you become peaceful. And if we all ate asparagus, there would be no more war on the face of earth. We'd all be at peace. I want to tell you something. There's only one place where there's peace, and that's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what John 1, verses 12 through 13 says. But to all who believed him and accepted him, I'll confuse a couple of different translations that I study, to them he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. This is not a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. This rebirth comes from God. Listen, Jesus Christ never forces anyone. The light is here. It cannot be extinguished. He never forces anyone to accept it. And that's something that we need to remember about being a child of God. Unlike every political structure, unlike every other religion in the world, we as Christians do one thing. We share the good news. You can reject it. You can take the word of God and burn it. You can spit in the face of Jesus Christ. You can believe the most cockamamie thing you want to believe. And as a Christian, I'm not going to prosecute you or persecute you. My only responsibility is to share Christ and Him crucified. What you do with that is entirely your responsibility. Unlike so many religions, we don't say, if you don't convert to my religion, you're a dead person. That's not Christianity. And yet in our world, Christianity is besmirched because of the gospel of love. But they don't besmirch religions that say, convert to my religion or you're a dead person. That's not the way Jesus was. He simply told them about the kingdom of God, and it was their responsibility. All who accept Jesus Christ are accepted by Him. Nobody has ever refused entrance into the kingdom of God, no matter what they've done. You can think of the most horrid thing that you can possibly think of, and when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, receive the Son of God as Savior, he is entered into the eternal kingdom of God. All who accept Him are children of God. They have inherited everything that Jesus Christ has inherited. We are His brothers. Both sexes. What He has, we have. All who accept Him are born again. God doesn't change us from the outside. He changes us from the inside. And that's how we become a new creature in Christ. All of the past is behind us because of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. In closing, let me read to you Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 8. When we were utterly helpless, can't save yourself, Christ came at just the right time and died for us, sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed us His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet sinners. This is what Christmas is about. It isn't glistening lights. It isn't even lighting candles. It isn't the billions of dollars that are going to be spent on stuff that nobody needs. It's the coming of the Son of God to make it possible for us to experience eternal life, so that when we close our eyes in death, we open them in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know where you are spiritually. You know if you've received Jesus Christ. You know whether you're living on a day-to-day basis for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe your life is hit and miss. I don't know. You know. I have some ideas. Our invitation, O come all ye faithful, That's for each and every one of us to come and receive and to know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get ready to sing. And if you need to come, come. Let's be standing.